This is News Talk 94.9 WSJM. I am Brian Sorensen. Welcome to Robotics Roundtable. Robotics Roundtable features local robotics teams from around Southwest Michigan live in studio to talk about their teams and how competitions are going. Robotics Roundtable is brought to you by Kettering University. All systems go, go pro at Kettering University. Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Sponsored by Cook Nuclear Plant. Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, education, mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence. South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. I am Brian Sorensen, and I have Tim Denai.
How are you doing today, Brian?
Good. A little technical difficulty there, and it had to have happened when I was subbing for Andrew Green.
So we'll blame it on the fact that Andrew just left us in a lurch, so
right.
We're good with that.
We'll do that. Right.
And actually, welcome to the world of robotics, Brian, because if you notice, our guest in the studio, no panic. This is life in robotics. We hear beeping things and little lights blinking, and we go, we're in our sweet spot. Let's all panic right now.
Right. This is my sweet spot, and when that alarm goes off, I panic.
There we go. There we go. Don't. It'll age you very quick. Just look at me, and I'm only 22, no hair and all that stuff.
So. I'm 15.
Well, thank you for being here, Brian. This is our fifth season that we've been able to host a Robotics Roundtable, thanks to the sponsorship, the partnership that we have with Kettering University, the partnership definitely with WSJM. It's been an awesome event. We'll let the students talk a little bit here, and they can kind of tell us just the impact of being able to walk into a radio station and reach out via the radio locally and through Facebook Live to a larger community. It's been an awesome opportunity.
And we are on Facebook Live, too, so they can all wave. And this will be posted on WSJM's Facebook page when we're all done.
Excellent. Excellent. So a little bit of introductions. You mentioned my name, Tim Denai. I am an automation engineer for Kendall Electric. I've been in that position for a total of 31 years now with Kendall, and that's probably the last 26 years of my life has been as an automation engineer. But the thing that brings me to the microphone is I am the judge advisor for the local competition, a FIRST Robotics competition, and I participate as a judge advisor for this event, several other events. Some of the events that we'll talk about throughout the Robotics Roundtable season, I helped to plan some of those events. Actually, with some of the people at the table here, we've planned events and run those. And this has become very much a passion of mine. And then also co-hosting this show. So we mentioned it's the fifth season. Mm-hmm. I don't know what I'm doing wrong because I've burned through Ray Gustafson, who's been an assistant or a co-host.
Right.
Jacob Holmes was a co-host.
Right.
Lewis used to run the board for us. So please don't leave. That's all I'm going to ask.
I'm filling in for everybody tonight.
There we go. But we're looking forward to an exciting season of Robotics Roundtable. We want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned this is highlights the area teams, FIRST Robotics teams. And what we're going to do is let the students and mentors that are in the room introduce themselves. And we'll talk a little bit about what FIRST is for those that are tuning in for the first time. The team that we have in the room is the CW Tech Robotarians. And that's team 2959 in the world of FIRST. You have names and then you have numbers, and people memorize the numbers more than they do anything else. So team 2959. And we'll start to my right and let the students introduce themselves. And if you would tell us your name, what grade you're in school, and which school you're from.
Okay. Hi, my name is Evie Claire, and I'm thrilled to be here. So thank you for having our team. I am a junior at Michigan Lutheran.
Hello, my name is Ross Clare, and I am from Michigan Lutheran as well. I'm a senior this year, and I'm excited to be here as well and speak about the robotics competition this year.
You two brother and sister?
That is correct.
I did not even really realize that. I'm sorry. So the name said, there we go. I'm pretty quick. And then over to my left, a last name.
Well, I'm Tracy. Family affair here.
You got
I'm a mentor for CW.
You have to share a mic with Tim for a little bit.
Oh, sharing a mic? Okay.
Sorry about that. I'm Tracy Clare. I'm a mentor at CW Tech, and I don't have a grade in high school right now.
So the topic of FIRST Robotics, Evie, if I were to ask you what is FIRST, can you tell the audience and me in the room and Brian, let's say we're teaching Brian all of what FIRST is about.
Okay. So FIRST is actually an acronym that stands for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology. And there's different levels of FIRST. It starts all the way in pre-K, I believe. Or is it kindergarten?
Kindergarten through third grade.
Yeah, so that's called Junior FIRST Lego League. Then there's FIRST Lego League, which is the next couple grades. Then FIRST Tech Challenge is in middle school. And the program that we're involved in is FIRST Robotics Competition, or FRC, which is for high school age students. And each year, on the first Saturday of January, there's a new game released to all of the teams. And there's usually a large set of different challenges that you have to build a robot from to perform the tasks. And then we all compete together at events. And one thing that makes it really unique is that gracious professionalism is a key word that we really stress. What that means is that teams work together as opposed to competing all the time. There's alliances where teams work together. And that's about it.
So that's quite a bit. So you can take a breath. We're gonna slide the microphone over to Ross. Ross, how long have you been involved with FIRST?
I've been involved in FIRST since the day I joined an FLL team. That was back in middle school. I believe that would have been fifth or sixth grade. So I've been a part of the team as an FLL team through eighth grade, and I joined Robotarians for the 4 years of high school. So,
and you are in your senior year now,
and this is my senior year.
So you've gotten to kind of live through the full gamut of things, and had some really good opportunities to visit some places with competitions, whether it's local competitions or competitions at world level. So, and we'll continue some conversation through that. After a little bit of a break, or
we still got about a minute or so.
We might go through. We'll start you with an answer with a question here, and that was, Evie had mentioned that it's a competition, but not a competition. Is this still a competitive sport?
I would say that it is competitive. It's just like any bit. It's, you could relate it almost to the manufacturing businesses around here. They are competitive. They do a lot of work to compete and make the best product, but a lot of the companies around here don't compete. They're doing they all do different things for community. There's so many things that all the companies can work with, and it's a competition, but at the same time they all do different things, so it's all working as a team here. So
and that's, we'll add on to that, working as a team, after we get to the commercial break. So
right, yeah, we'll be back. I want to learn more about this too, because my daughter is just getting into high school now, and that was the one area of the high school that I did not see was the robotics. So, and I was really interested in this, so when they asked me to do this, I was so enthusiastic about it, because I really want to hear more about what's going on with this. So when we come back, we'll talk more about what you guys are going to be actually doing in this coming season. You're listening to Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. I'm Brian Sorensen, and we are still having some technical glitches here, but we are going to work through this. You guys are in the Robotics League, so you deal with technical glitches all the time, right?
Yeah.
All right, I'm joined with Tim Denai here, and we're going to be talking more about what you guys are doing in the Robotics League.
So before we head off to commercial, we were talking to Ross a little bit about the competition. And I want to interject a little bit here. If someone comes to an event,
forgot your anniversary because the NFL was on. Our kind of listener.
They're going to see
celebrate sports. 106.1 and 1400. WS
has three robots competing against three robots, an alliance against an alliance. And I guess I kind of was leading the witness there by asking you a question. Even though there's the teamwork part that happens, does every team pretty much want to win the competition?
Oh yeah, I can guarantee you every team is in it to win it, but at the same time, you're competing against those teams, but at the same time, if you're competing against a team, you're competing against one team, the next match you could be with them because it's all random. You're going to be on a team with two other robots, so it just depends who's on your alliance. So every match you have to get used to working with a different robot that can usually do a different task or do a different task better than the other one. So,
and that's part of the gracious professionalism that we were talking about too, is Evie had mentioned, there's also a matter of the way that you go about winning a competition. It's the spirit of the way you're doing it. And there's a phrase we've had other people talk about is coopetition. If one of you two want to talk a little bit about coopetition and what that is.
Well, I think coopetition is kind of what it sounds like. It's just co-oping with different people. You know, we're always, you know, it's just like comparing it to the manufacturing businesses around here. You're always going to be working with someone different, something different. You know, it's always, there's a lot of different aspects. There's a lot of different people, and that's what robotics definitely gets you used to. You know, there's 40 teams at the competition we're going to this weekend. That's a whole lot of different people and a whole lot of different robots, and we have to make our robot and make our teammates able to co-op with them and be able to work together and achieve the goal. So
Tracy, as a parent and a mentor, if you talk about watching the students, the way they compete with each other, but also the way they cooperate, that seems to be one of the things when I'm at a competition, people of let's just say older like us, that seems to be one of the most impressive things. What have you thought about that?
That's what's so different from other sports competitions is that in other sports competitions, the other team isn't going to tell you what their plays are. They're not going to give you help on how to shoot a basket. But in first, if you need help with your robot, if something broke down or you're having trouble with something, another team will help you out, even if that's a team that you're going to compete against. And this whole aspect of working together and competing against each other at the same time really does happen. It's not just something we talk about.
Ross, you were going to add something to look like there.
I guess it's something that the founder first actually added, Dean Kamen, he's compared it to other sports. You know, when he was, before he even came up with the whole idea first, he only thought about it. You know, there's basketball, there's football, all these athletic sports that challenge your body and your muscles and different things your body can do. But he thought, you know, there needs to be something that to challenge the mind and just the goals that your mind can do, because there's so many possibilities that your mind can do. And that's what robotics was all about. And that's the ideas that he had. And he wanted something that every student can step up to the challenge. And that's what FIRST is definitely all about.
Yeah, actually, I was listening to some interviews. I kind of, as I was doing a little bit of research and just getting ready for the season, there was a video that popped up from, I want to say, 1992 timeframe. And it was Dean Kamen specifically speaking about what he saw as the way to get people interested. And that is, you know, when some of us are younger, you watch an exciting basketball game, football game, whatever it is, and you want to be that superstar. So you start emulating what they do. You practice how they do. But if you start thinking long term, what are your opportunities to potentially go pro in that field? The chances that I was going to go pro in basketball or football or baseball or very slim. And even if there's some really good athletes, but then you take a look at what the realistic chances are for them, that's really, you know, putting your money into something that it may not pay back for you. But now the opportunity that maybe the two of you have had just because of your involvement, and maybe talk a little bit about being a part of a team when you walk in, some of the people you're getting to work with. Maybe, Evie, why don't you talk a little bit about that, some of the mentors and the different things that they do, their professional lives.
Sure, yeah. We're really lucky to have a lot of different mentors from different companies and businesses in the area that work with our team. And they're all very, very dedicated. We've got a lot of engineers. We have electrical engineers and people that specialize in even things like spirit. We design decorations and t-shirts to represent our team. We've got a lot of support.
Yeah, so some of the awards that we've talked about the competition, my involvement has been as a judge advisor. So the benefit for your team to compete, that makes sense. You go to a competition, you want to do well. But you mentioned, like, you know, team spirit, or there's imagery or entrepreneurship, different awards. Talk about the different awards and how you guys even break up as a team into focusing on those awards.
Yeah, we do a lot of different work, especially on our team with outreach. that goes hand in hand with things like the Entrepreneurship Award and even the Chairman's Award. Which,
what is the Chairman's Award for those who don't know?
Yeah, the Chairman's Award is the most prestigious award that a team can earn through FIRST, and it recognizes a team that truly embodies everything that FIRST is about, which is basically inspiring others through science and technology.
And have you guys ever been fortunate enough as a team to win that award?
Yeah, last year, actually, at the Shepherd District event, our team came home with the Chairman's Award, which was really, really awesome.
So, and you guys are both a part of the Chairman's Award team. So what does that entail? If you do you just walk in and say, please give me the Chairman's Award? So tell me a little bit about what that experience is for you.
Yeah, before competitions start, like actually in early February, we're required to submit an essay and some responses to some different questions about our team and the things we've done in our community. And then at the competitions, we go into a room and we give a speech, which is followed by a brief interview. And we also create a video, which will be shown if we earn the award. So a lot goes into this.
And what's the benefit of winning the Chairman's Award at a competition?
If your team wins the Chairman's Award, that automatically qualifies you to compete at the next level of competition. So for teams that compete in the FIRST in Michigan competitions, if you win the Chairman's Award at a district event, you qualify immediately to compete with your robot and with your chairman's team at the state championship.
At the state championship. And then hopefully getting to qualify all the way for the FIRST championships, which this coming season is actually grown large enough that the FIRST championships are divided into two areas. The first one of those in Houston, Texas. And then at the end of April, very first weekend in May, is the FIRST championships at Detroit. Ross, in your time with the CW Tech Robotarians, where have you been able to go to for FIRST championships? Did you get to go to St. Louis?
I did not get to go to St. Louis, but we've made it to state.
I didn't mean to bring that up. I thought you had. So.
I think I was about a year short. Previous year would have been my like eighth grade year. They made it to Worlds, and we just barely got out of it. We were still at the state competition. We've been at the state competition for the past 3 years that I've been into it. Okay. So
yeah, and the reason I brought that up is the CW Tech Robotarians had a run of about four consecutive years where they qualified to go to World Championships. At that point in time, the last one I want to say was 2017, maybe. Or maybe it's 2016, where there was a single world championship, and then it just grew to the point where you couldn't possibly put all the teams in that facility together, and it grew out to the two separate championships. So, qualifying to get to world championships, talk a little bit about competing in the state of Michigan. The state of Michigan has 562, I think it is, FRC teams, high school robotics teams.
Wow.
562 teams. The next state is at least half, if not more than that. So talk about trying to qualify for even just the state championship. There's 160 teams at state championship. How difficult is that within the state of Michigan?
I think that's a very difficult challenge to come up to. It's there, like you said, there's 500 plus teams just in Michigan, and I think that's a lot to do with a lot of the technology and a lot of the factories and manufacturing facilities that we have around here, and all the help from the mentors, a lot of really good opportunities around here and a lot of great minds in those areas to help us. And I think Michigan is one of the best areas in the nation, in the world, really, to come up to that. And that's what's inspired and started so many of these teams. And I think one of the biggest challenges to getting to state is just getting past all the other teams that are doing the same thing, that are working in the same level that we are. And actually the state, the Michigan district event is it's its own district. It's just the state of Michigan, whereas yeah, other districts around are, you know, there's a few states, or it's the Southwest or whatever, but Michigan is its own regional competition.
Talk state championship in the world from FIRST headquarters, it's a district championship. That is the district and it is a populated district. So I'd like you each to maybe chime in, and we'll even let Mom chime in on this too. Why do you think so many companies, mentors or whatever that is, why do you think they take such an interest in FIRST? And we'll get a different perspective from each of you. We'll start with Mom.
I think some of it, and I say this jokingly, but I think it's true. When all these people who are our age, the old people, say, oh, I wish there was something like this when I was a kid, these mentors do. This is like what they wish they could have done. So they get to kind of live that dream by being a mentor.
So do you think they're reliving their high school years?
Yeah, this is like what they would have done if it would have been there when they were that age. In fact, we have a mentor who says he comes to robotics for stress relief because, like, he has a long, hard day at work, and then he comes to robotics and he gets to play.
Can I ask who that is?
Mr. Glatzbach.
Mr. Glatzbach, okay. I didn't know if it was Mr. Skorupa or not. So was,
they probably would say the same thing.
I don't know that he had a stress-free day, so.
That sounds great. When we come back, we'll talk more about some of the things. I would love to hear about the robot. We had some technical difficulties out there, but I want to hear some more about, like, what all the robots is and the competitions or everything like that.
Excellent.
So we'll be back with Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
When you can't catch WSJM Sports on the air, listen online at WSJMSports.com, 106.1 and 1400 WSJM Sports.
Hi, I'm at Social Star 111. I've got a billion followers, and I'd love to be an influencer for your brand's Facebook and Insta. Just Venmo me $100,000, and I'll post whatever you want just once to all my followers.
Yeah, how about no? Hi again, it's Zach, your local digital expert from Midwest Family. So you want to hire a social media influencer to endorse your brand or your product or service, but 100K is a bit steep, and Social Star 111 probably won't be around next week. But what if I told you your business could get help using local influencers right here from our own Midwest Family Brands to help lend credibility to your brand and provide endorsements using video on Facebook and Instagram? Our local influencers from our radio stations, moodyonthemarket.com, and more are ready to help give your brand a social boost. We've already done it for lots of other local brands. Find out how yours can get involved at morethanjustradio.com. That's morethanjustradio.com.
SouthwestMichiganJobs.com salutes the employee of the month. The one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, what does collate mean?
Oh, hey, Dave. I think it means to flush.
Oh, thanks, Dave. Well, better start collating the boss's sales pitch.
We believe local businesses should be packed with more local employees of the month and fewer Daves. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. SouthwestMichiganJobs.com. Local jobs that work.
Dave is a common name used in a comical way. Please don't write us to tell us you were insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
Sarah was looking for a job, but wanted to stay local.
That's right.
First, she built a giant satellite, then launched it into space to send a signal transmitting her resume. This did not lend Sarah a job, but it did start a war with the Zarkon Nebula.
I went too far.
Yes, Sarah went too far. But you don't have to go too far to go far. SouthwestMichiganJobs.com only posts local jobs, so employers are way more likely to respond to your application and offer you a job. SouthwestMichiganJobs.com. Local jobs that work.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. I'm Brian Sorensen with many, many technical difficulties tonight, but we do have the Robotics League with us here, and I have my assistants in the Corps helping us out as well. Robotics Roundtable is brought to you by Kettering University, All Systems Go, GoPro at Kettering University, Bering Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community, sponsored by Cook Nuclear Pant, Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, education, and mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence, and South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. Tim, how are we doing?
And we're also sponsored tonight by Murphy's Law. What can go wrong will go wrong at the very worst time.
Exactly. And everybody on Facebook Live gets to see me on my first time mess it up, too.
They're just getting to see the back of your head. So if I were you, I would just slink out of here and let no one see your face. Plus, you're wearing a 97.5 hat. So, you know, no one's going to tie the two together.
Yeah, Matt was just in the room, too. So that's not going to have anything to do either.
Actually, though, we were just talking with Ross and Evie before the break, and you had brought up a point, Brian, that, you know, your child is being exposed to FIRST Robotics, and you've got some questions about that. And one of the things we've been talking about, so many of the aspects that, at least for those of us who've been involved for a while, are really the hidden secrets to FIRST. But for somebody who walks into an event the very first time, and we have actually this weekend is the district qualifying event at St. Joe High School. Teams will start rolling in Thursday afternoon, start set up for the competition. They'll get their robots out, get them weighed, checked, make sure they're all ready to go through robot inspection, and then they'll start doing some practice runs. And then competitions are Friday and Saturday. Opening ceremony for competition on Friday is 10:30 a.m., and then shortly thereafter we will start the qualification rounds, if you will. That'll go through until about 7:30 on Friday evening, and then we'll turn around and we'll start back again with opening ceremonies at 9 a.m. on Saturday. And by about 11:30, we should be done with the qualifying rounds, and we will have this thing that we talk about called alliance selection, where we pick the final partners we want, and playoffs will start at scheduled to start at 2 p.m. currently. And big happenings in the city of St. Joe. At 2 p.m., ESPN3 will be broadcasting. I love that.
Wow.
Quick reaction from you. So we're getting that from a lot of people. I don't know. Were you guys in the room? Were you aware that ESPN3 is going to be broadcasting? So it's actually a pretty interesting thing. Robotics is growing immensely, and state championships have been broadcast on ESPN3. So it's going to be actually pretty fun to get to see that, and it brings an additional amount of excitement into the room. Definitely for the competition. But speaking about the competition, Ross, if we could talk a little bit, Evie mentioned the beginning of January, we had the reveal, and that's a global reveal. This isn't just a nationwide thing or North America. This is teams across the world that the video was revealed. And more importantly than just a video, we get the manual that says this is what the game is. And then from there, tell us a little bit about how you take the information of here's the manual and a video and start putting together what will be your robot.
We start minutes after that video is first released. They have a little party, if you call it that, to get a whole bunch of teams together to watch a video. And we start as soon as we can. We go right back to our facility and we start thinking of ideas and really try to get the basic ideas. And this year, We have 6-inch like dodgeball type balls out in the field, and we got a launchman do a hexagon that's in the air. We got it. That was kind of the first thing we got. Okay, how are we gonna do this year? What's gonna be the
So in the discussion, so it's we're shooting at a hexagon target, and then there's a target inside of that that's maybe what two feet further back.
Yeah, it's a little back from that.
So is there part of the discussion about how easy is it to do that, a risk reward thing? Does that come up in your discussions? Going, okay, we design our robot to do this. How difficult is the task?
Yeah, that definitely would be considered a risk reward thing. There's a lot of different ways to make points out in the field, and one of those ways, obviously, is the balls that we're talking about. So we got to figure out if we want to spend time making sure those balls will get through not only the big hexagon, but the smaller circle in the back of that goal, or if we want to make more points spinning a wheel on the field as well, or we got to figure out what's worth our time and what we can make our robot do. And we want to try to make it do everything, and that's always very hard to do, but that's always a good goal to start from, just to get down the basics, get down the things that'll make us the most points, and a lot of things that we got to think about what other teams are also going to look at for the alliance selections. What's the other team going to want? If they're going to want a robot that can climb in the end game, that's a bar that the robot has to hang on, and so the robot has to get off the ground in the last 30 seconds of the match. So other teams are going to want other robots on their team to be able to climb like that. So we got to make that, incorporate that into the design of a ball throwing robot as well.
So talk a little about Evie, talk a little bit about, you know, Ross is talking about how another robot or other teams might, you know, might be interested in what you can do. There's this piece where you guys are doing scouting, watching what's happening, what other teams are doing. Tell me a little bit about scouting and then talking with other teams, telling them about the things you can do.
Yeah, scouting is a major part of how first teams compete. Usually at competitions, Team 2959 will do surveys. We'll go around and talk to team members from other teams and ask them about their robot, what it can do. And then we also watch the matches, and at all times we'll have six of our student team members in the stands keeping track of what's happening in the matches. And that is all alongside the field management system, which also keeps track of what's going on in matches. So that records all of the points, all of the fouls, etc. And then I also, one of my roles on the team is taking photos of each team's robot. So then at the end of competitions on Friday night, we'll go back and have a data meeting. So our team discusses all the data we've collected.
So talk about a data meeting, because I've seen how some of those things go. What happens and how late? I mean, so a competition gets done. Maybe you get out of the building at 9:30, 10 o'clock. How long does, when does a data meeting start? And what time does it end?
Well, I don't know if you can see the bags under my eyes if you're watching on Facebook Live, but usually we'll get to our facility around 9:30, maybe 10, and those meetings can last for an hour or even longer, because a lot of times our team will grow attached to other teams' robots, and we think to ourselves, oh, that one would work really well with our robot, and we'll defend the robot, which is really fun because we all get to kind of negotiate who we like the best. But
yeah. So, and when you said go back to the facility you're at is just a hotel, correct? I mean, for out of town competitions, you're at a hotel, which
yeah.
Somebody who's been a judge at out of town locations, when you come back, I generally will take off my judge shirt when I walk into a hotel room. I really don't want to be mobbed. But I've seen students going down the hall with, you know, Jolt 2 liters and Mountain Dew 2 liters at 11 o'clock at night,
yep.
Getting ready to go meeting. And I'm really ready to wind down.
And you're done for the day by then.
Oh, done. I was done hours ago.
All right. Well, we'll be back in just a few minutes to wrap up our last segment for this glitch-riddled first Robotics Roundtable on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Recently, the former head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency recommended everyone have a battery-operated or hand-crank broadcast radio in their emergency supply kit. He said, or pay TV will be there for critical information when disaster strikes. Become congested and get knocked offline. The power goes out and we're left in the dark. He said local radio broadcasters remain our community's most important first informers, working closely with public safety officials at every level to keep you updated.
Did you know you can purchase a Sangene certified weather radio ideal in emergency situations at the Radio Obsessed showroom in Benton Harbor? It includes AM/FM digital radio, NOAA weather channels and emergency alerts, clock and large LCD display. Priced at just $64.99, but use promo code Kathy, yep, my name, and I can give you 10% off your purchase. Hashtag Radio Obsessed, located inside the radio studios on Napier Avenue, or shop us online today.
If your HR team is still trying to reach people through the Help Wanted ads, keep in mind that many people don't even know they want a job until they learn there's an opening at some place they've long admired. They may not actually be looking, but when a job opportunity pops into their timeline the way Jobs on the Market opportunities do, it's like a hidden treasure unearthed. Jobs on the Market is extremely affordable and can be accomplished within minutes. Click the Jobs on the Market tab and find new talent you didn't know was out there from MoodyOnTheMarket.com.
What makes Fast Cash from the Michigan Lottery so thrilling? The progressive jackpot that keeps building with every ticket sold all day long. From the moment you wake up, the jackpot's building. And while you're in the shower, it's still building. Even when you walk in to buy a ticket, it's still building. Until jackpot, a winner right on the spot. The fun keeps building with Fast Cash, only from the Michigan Lottery. Knowing your limits is always the best bet.
It's time to say no more.
Is it possible for abusers to change? It requires a serious decision for an abuser to change. Once they've had all the power in the relationship, it's difficult for them to compromise. Sometimes he or she will stop the physical violence, but continue to employ emotional, sexual, or financial abuse. Some abusers are able to exert complete control over a victim's every action without using violence or only using subtle threats of violence. But all types of abuse are devastating to those victims.
Go to nomore.org. This message provided by the National Network to End Domestic Violence.
News Talk 94.9 WSJN. I'm Brian Sorensen with Tim Denai. We are here with the Robotics Roundtable, brought to you by Kettering University. All systems go. Go pro at Kettering University. Berry and Spinks Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Sponsored also by Cook Nuclear Plant. Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, education, and mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence, and South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. Tim, we've had some fun tonight, haven't we?
We have.
Amongst all the technical difficulties, I have been listening to everything that has been going on here, and as a parent that's going to have a child in high school, I don't know if she's going to be into any of this, but now I'm really sad that she's not. So after hearing you guys just talk about this in the last, you know, almost hour, I'm it's amazing. I wish we had something like that when I was in school.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about that off air. The number of people that wish they had the opportunity to do something like this as students, it's what brings a lot of us back. I think for me, getting to see the excitement of students and you know, taking this and going, how can I continue to grow? Also, you know, it's not just, we talked a little bit about awards. There are 17 awards that get handed out. 6 of those awards have to do with the robot. The other 11 awards have something to do with something that your daughter may be very well interested in, the business aspects of thing,
right.
The fact that these teams are self-funded, a little bit of help maybe from schools and such, but really the majority of the funding is from the students going out and getting sponsorship. And they have much more success than they do if they ask their parents for, whatever their allowance is. They have much more success when they go talk to businesses about their program. While we were off air, we actually had somebody sneak in through the window, which I don't think is the first time I've ever seen that in the studio here. We're on the second story, really. So
on that window, it's the second story.
Yes,
right.
It is. If it comes through the parking lot, it's just the main level, though. So.
I hope you don't try and go back out that way, because we're not going to let you.
No, we won't. So, but we did want to let, we had somebody who was able to make it here and join us. So we want to let her introduce herself. Name, age, grade that you are, and then we're going to ask you some questions specifically about the competition.
All right. Well, I'm Audrey Bickerson. I'm currently 17, and I go to Southwestern Michigan College. Yeah.
How long have you been involved with FIRST?
This would be my 4th year involved, and I've been a judge before for FIRST Lego League, and got a nice variety of FIRST.
Excellent. You saw the look in my eye because I helped to coordinate FIRST Lego League event and get the judges. So I just found an additional judge right there. So
there you go right there. You just volunteered.
Voluntold, something
voluntold.
Like that. So we were talking a little bit about the game, and just for somebody that's never been to a competition, talk a little bit about what happens, the length of time of a match, and what happens during like the beginning, the middle, and the end of that.
All right. So during a match, we have 6 teams, 2 different alliances that will have 3 teams on each, and they're going to work together to complete some sort of task on the field. For the first 15 seconds, we have what's called autonomous, which is run by our coders. So the bot is doing, we're not controlling the bot. The bot's doing what we've coded it to do.
So we're controlling it in the aspect that we wrote a program and said, you should do this every time and repeat, correct?
Yes. And so from there, we go on and complete whatever task FIRST is put together kindly for us for the next, drawing a blank for time, about 2 or so minutes.
Yeah, so it's a total of 2.5 minutes.
And then from there, we go into end game, which is where we're going to have to climb some sort of mechanism that really all twists our brain to try to build.
So the climbing aspect of it, every year there's always something different. So this year there's a triangle basically that's hanging, and we need to try and balance three robots onto that. Did you guys watch any competitions this past weekend, just out of curiosity? So Audrey, did you watch any competitions?
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining to watch.
So talk about the difficulties with just trying to get three robots to hang on a bar. So, that you saw watching.
Of course, everyone has a different weight to them. So if you have one really heavy bot on the end, it's going to make all the others slide down. So that's one variable that we really have to look into. And then if you're climbing alone, you're going to swing the entire thing up versus if you were climbing in the middle.
So one of the things that, you know, when you start looking at, okay, the robot, I'm going to take my heavy robot. What's the weight limit on a robot?
120.
120 pounds. So if I take my 120-pound robot, and we're going to say Tim's robot's 120-pound because he's going to have as much weight as he can possibly have, and then Evie's robot's going to be 80 pounds on the other side of the bar, then there's this thing where we start to go, okay, where does one robot need to position itself, correct? So if we start doing that, let's tie that back into, and I'm going to slide microphone over to Ross and Evie. We're starting to do some of that thing like science, technology, mathematics. Does that come into play here?
I think you did just start a math problem, but it sounds like a fun one.
And I think that's part of the interesting thing for me is actually I know one of the mentors on your team pretty well, Mark Skorupa. And Mark had told me this is a couple years ago, where one of you students had brought up, this was power up. So we were trying to put crates, for lack of a better word, onto a scale. And the discussion became, you want to get your crate up first, and the position of it was the most important piece of this game. And yet when we watched a reveal video, nothing was ever said about where you wanted to position anything. So Ross, talk about the risk reward and does that math equation come up? Does anyone start, you know, who's the first person that brings it up? Is it a mentor? Is it a student?
Well, a lot of times it's both. We have meetings where we just sit and talk. We, like after the kickoff event, we just sit there and we talk about what we strategize positions and everything, what we want to do on the field. And once we got to figuring out what we don't want to do with the balls, we got to figure out where we want to launch them. And there's different positions that earn you different points for launching the balls into the hexagon, and we have to do different things to the robot to make it be able to do those, to launch it from different positions as well.
So it's a part of the overall equation too, and you know, so then then there's the part where the programmer has to, you have somebody that says, okay, but we're going to build it to do it, and then there's somebody has to create that program to do it. And then how much do you learn from watching videos? I mean, the scouting, you guys were not at a competition this week, but there were four competitions in the state of Michigan. How much time did you guys spend scouting those particular events? Anybody can chime in.
I think during our Saturday meeting, we had one of the competitions playing on a TV screen in our meeting room. And throughout the day, there was always at least one or two people watching that match. And towards the end of the day, we had some discussions on what some of the most successful strategies were. And to me, it seems to boil down to the end game. That last bit of it where the robots need to climb is really important because you can rack up a lot of points.
Good. So you did hear that one piece, Brian. On a Saturday,
yeah,
students were together working on this science project, you know, their robot. The dedication that I've seen with all these students is incredible. And to stay on the teams, they also need to maintain a pretty healthy grade point average. It becomes a whole part of the equation.
Well, I was wondering that too, like all the different things that are involved in this. I mean, there is a minimum GPA that you have to be on this, right? And if you maintain that, you can be still on the team. What happens if you go below that? Is there like a probation period, or do you still try to work? Because it sounds like once you're on these teams, you're going to want to stay on these teams, because I want to be on your team right now.
Yeah, fortunately, I haven't had to have that experience of going below, but I do know that our mentors are very willing to help us with schoolwork, which is awesome. I don't know offhand if there's a grace period or whatnot, but It's treated like a sport. So the GPA that each of the schools that are a part of our team required for a student to compete in sports is the same that they require students to have to be in robotics.
Okay. Okay. Then it sounds amazing. I wish you guys the best of luck with this. And I hope to hear you guys had great success with your robots.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. So we are going to wrap up this first very glitchy robotics roundtable.
Not too glitchy, but let's start a quick reminder. This weekend competition, 40 teams from across the state of the state of Michigan, including the number one ranked team in the state and a two-time world champion will be here. We will have all of the area teams will be participating. Opening ceremonies Friday at 10:30 and Saturday morning at 9 a.m. free and open to the public.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you guys again for being here. I've personally learned a lot, so I'm glad that you guys came in here, because before today, I had absolutely no idea what it was about and how much involved it is for the students to be a part of this. So I want to thank you guys again. Our sponsors for Robotics Roundtable are Kettering University, All Systems Go, GoPro at Kettering University, Berrien Springs Public Schools, together inspiring students to think, learn, achieve, and care in a global community. Sponsored also by Cook Nuclear Plant, Lakeshore Public Schools, supporting and offering STEM education, science, technology, education, and mathematics, grounded in tradition, committed to excellence, and South Haven Public Schools, inspiring success in learning, leadership, and life. This is Robotics Roundtable on 94.9 WSJM.
2019 wasn't easy. The economy gave us fits. The weather gave us floods. We got hit hard. It's time for farmers to hit back. Winfield United has tools to give you the edge. Our Advanced Acre Prescription Program gives you the best recommendations for the way you farm. Follow the plan, get 95% of your APH, or get money back. If not, we'll eat the cost and the humble pie. Not crow. Eating crow is disgusting. Winfield United is with you from planting season until the last crop is harvested. 2019 is over. Awesome. Let's step up to a better future. The Winfield United Advanced Acre Prescription Program. Learn about this limited release program at winfieldunited.com. See agreement for more details. Target percentage of APH varies by plant.